on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Jake Moody, not even on the active roster for 12 hours. And he kicks four field goals, including the game winner, to give the Bears an identical score victory as just before the bye week, 25-24.
What about the odds of that?
If we had known, we would have gone to Vegas and it would have been over.
Well, I've already made a bet on the New Orleans game, 25-24, Bears win. And that's going to be next week.
And what's our next opponent come Sunday, folks, is New Orleans Saints. What's their record, Dan?
The Saints are 1-4.
Oh, my Lord. Watch out, folks. Here we come.
Yeah. You know, right off the top, Andy, you got to tip the cap. Bears win. It was a huge win. It really was, to see how the game played out. And I give them high marks for composure and grit, because it's not easy on the road to find ways to win, OB. I know you want to scoff.
How in God's name can you make that statement?
Because the Washington Commanders had just went out to L.A. and pounded the hell out of the Chargers. They got down 10-0, and then they came back and beat them 28-10. So the point being is, this was not, you know, a bunch of rum-dums. This was a competent, good football team. Now, let me just finish this. But there were so many hidden hands in this game, and we're going to talk about it the next hour and a half. But I got to tell you, so many mistakes, so many bad calls against the Bears. And that's right, 9 penalties, 4 penalties gave the Commanders, you know, a new set of downs. But at the end of the day, to keep fighting, and Nashawn Wright, who had been basically the GOAT of the game, you know, for almost 4 quarters, comes up with the biggest play of the night.
Well, I don't know where to go with this. I'm trying to feel optimistic, and I'm having a little difficulty because I tell you what, the way things went tonight, it should have been, and the breaks, the Bears caught. Let me tell you something, folks. They had 9 penalties tonight. And last week, and we won 25-24 on the last second of the game. No time left. The prior week, we won 25-24. What did we do? We blocked a field goal attempt. Now, that's not exactly domination. That's not exactly high-powered offense. That's not exactly a high-powered defense. We played lousy football teams, and as luck would have it, it came, the ball bounced our way, Dan. And I'm not going to put these guys in the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you what, getting back to what I said, we had 9 penalties. You have 9 penalties, folks. You lose a game. Last week, same score, 25-24 we won on a miracle, no time left. Field goal block, okay? We had 8 penalties. That's 17 penalties for, I don't know, I remember maybe it was 150, 70 yards, or it was. You lose. You lose those games. We won, both of them. One with 9 penalties and the one prior with 8 penalties. Now, that's not exactly dominating, Dan.
Nobody said it was.
And like our running game, our passing game, our quarterback, that kid, he keeps us in the game with certain plays, but I'll tell you what, he takes us out of some games, Danny, with some really bad passes and bad runs. That's what I see. And here we are, we're 3-2 on 2, no time left on the clock, wins with identical scores, 25-24. How in the hell, in the name of what's right and true about this game, could that happen?
Well,
how could that happen?
Well, I mean, it's remarkable, is what it is. It's remarkable, but at the end of the day, the Bears showed the fortitude and grit to stay in it, not panic. But here's the thing:
Cleveland, you know, kept them in it, Dan.
I know you. Look, they had the number one offense rushing the ball in the NFL. We basically did a great job. We outgained them on the ground. Our offensive line had their best game of the season.
I agree.
Oh, there's no question. The offensive line, tip of the cap, they were the reason.
They kept us in the game, our offensive line. That's nice to say. I haven't said words like that, and I couldn't tell you what decade.
But here's the thing, OB.
Let alone year.
And I know it's easy to belittle, the fact that they won by 1 point. Two games, but they've won three in a row. Andy, when was the last time that happened?
Dan.
It's had to be
2018.
Yeah, I was saying the Nagy era.
Yeah, it was the 2018 season that everybody, the only winning season the Bears have had in the last 12.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, there is progress, and you can only, play the game to win. Now, if we would have won 45-10, would we be, giddy, maybe, but at the end of the day, this win on the road, back-to-back wins on the road by one single stinking point. And I got to tell you, you can say what you want about those 9 penalties. I'm telling you, that officiating crew was horse blank. It was awful. And the call on Theo Benedict that said he didn't have proper alignment on the goal, on the goal line play that we scored on, is ridiculous, and I'm telling you, if Ben Johnson has a hair anywhere on he will protest that and petition the league, because that was ridiculous. And you know what? Aikman, who does a good job, Aikman did a great job of, diagramming exactly what the rule's intent was, and Benedict was – he wasn't behind the center's, rear end. So at the end of the day, it was a horrible call. And that call would have changed everything. But instead, we have to try and kick a field goal. That was blocked. And now we're at the mercy on the road, in the rain, all these different things. And guess what? Somehow, some way, we overcame it.
Well, Danny, I'm going to go back to those penalties again. You're not sloughing that off, are you?
I tell you what, I think
9
there
penalties.
Hey, DJ, they call DJ Moore in the neutral zone. The guy is a borderline Pro Bowl player, has been in the league 7 years.
I didn't ask you to analyze
it. He's never done that before.
I just asked you a question. You think
it was horrible
9 penalties from week to week, you're going to win a game? We had 9 this, 8 last week, Dan. And when you have that amount of penalties for 60-plus some yards, you're going to lose. And somehow, we won 2 games.
It was 84 yards in penalty yards. I mean, it was a ton. But the most important one was that call back the touchdown, which, again, changed the entire complexion of the fourth quarter. So,
Danny, listen,
I got to tell you.
Hold on, Dan. This was a miracle that we won this football game. Okay? Things fell their way. That's what happened. It fell their way.
The Bears beat the 11 Washington Commanders on the field and the 7 officials. They had to beat 18 guys to win this game.
25-24, that's the final. Bears over the Commanders. We'll take a timeout. We'll get to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. We'll separate the combatants, and we'll come back and play penalty-free.
Well, what about Zaccheaus dropping that ball?
That was horrible.
He would have hit his head on the goalpost.
He's still running.
All these mistakes, and yet we found a way to win.
Dan, that's football. It's football, Dan. It's going to happen.
There's
going to be fumbles. There's going to be interceptions. There's going to be 60, 70-yard pass touchdowns. That happens. It's football. It's 4 quarters. That's what it's called. NFL, National Football League, the best there is.
I'll tell you what it's called, a win.
Sammy just flagged us for delay of games. Let me get to the break here. Half an OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. DeAndre Swift had a breakout game. 14 carries, 108 yards on the ground, an average of 7.7. He also caught a couple of passes for 67 yards, including the one you heard right there, courtesy of ABC, a 55-yard touchdown strike. He was targeted 3 times, and boy, that was needed. It was needed to see the ground game actually do something. We talked about this before the game even started, and it was going to be the number one rushing offense, which was the Commanders, against one of the poorest defenses in the Bears.
And you know what, OB, the thing about it was, okay, and you go in, we kind of turn the tables, we outran them, but they still controlled the clock. They had more time of possession.
About three more minutes.
Yeah, but all that being said, it gave the offense some viability. And even though Caleb threw for 250 yards after sacks, about 236, something like that, and there was a spot there on that one drive where he hit three really nice, you know, long gains. At some point, I can see how this offense should start to blossom. You know, we haven't seen it. It's been grab bag and this and that and a few things work and this and that. But tonight, I could see the offense gaining some rhythm. And, you know, and you got to give Ben Johnson some credit. He's doing a good job putting the offensive play calling structure together. But I will tell you, when we got the ball back with a minute and 10 seconds to go at the end of the first half, those three play calls were the worst I've ever seen. They were god awful. But all that, again, we're just picking at bones here. The bottom line is we rushed the number one rushing team in football. A lot of good things happen when you do get that done, Andy. It really does.
Well, Dan, you know, I hear you, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm not convinced that we have the right quarterback. And yet, you heard me. I'm not convinced we have the right quarterback to take us to a world championship. I'm just not convinced.
Well, that's why we've got 14 more.
And I'm not convinced
12 more
about Ben Johnson. I thought there would be a lot more discipline through training camp and getting this team ready to play from the get-go. And we have won two miracle games back-to-back. Miracle wins, and that's what they are. Did we dominate our last two opponents? No. How did we win? On miracle plays. So before we start putting Ben Johnson and Williams and everybody in the Hall of Fame, there's got to be a little more reasoning here, thought, and some reality, Dan, because I'll tell you what, there's going to be some games where they're not going to have the luck, they're not going to get the bounce of the ball in regards to fumbles, etc. Okay, and they're really going to have to play some hard football. And do I think they're ready to play the really good teams in this league right now? No, I don't.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner
of
the Chicago Bears. Let's get to a call here before we get to our news break. I'll say hi to Brian at Mount Prospect. Brian, you're up with Happen will be. Go ahead.
Yep, Hamp, OB, great to talk to you guys. Trade deadline is coming up. DJ Moore could be a potential person we could trade. I think Luther Burden has proven that he could be the next guy coming up. I don't necessarily like that DJ Moore with his, like, kind of, you know, sluggish style. I think he's a detriment to the team overall. He's a great player, but I think he could be some guy that we could move. What would you guys trade him for? What would be the position that we would want to get if we wanted to trade a guy like him? Or who would you trade coming up to the deadline?
First, before what you just said, Sweat would be gone from this team. I don't care what deal. Get rid of this guy. Get him off the team. Get him off the squad. We don't need him. We don't need him, and we don't need his antics, and we don't need him that he wants to come off when he wants to come off and play when he wants to play. That's totally and completely unacceptable. I don't care what team it is, what coaching, or who it is. It's unacceptable in the league of the National Football. National Football League does not need somebody like him, and the Bears, certainly, we don't need him. So if we're going to trade anybody, Brian, it's got to be Sweat's got to be number one. Take what you can get for him and get him out of here.
You know, the thing about DJ Moore, and DJ has put himself in this box where here you, Brian, you want to get rid of him. He's expendable. And you know what? My old maxim about the, when I played football was make yourself indispensable. Well, he's kind of put himself in a box where, hey, if he was traded tomorrow, nobody's going to miss him. But that being said, Zaccheaus had that drop tonight. Burton showed a flash or two, but you know, Adunze is really our only big time receiver. And those other two, they're still kind of a developmental stage, if you will. You're trying to wait and see what you can get, where DJ has had some moments where he was a valuable commodity. But Ryan Poles, he has missed on so many free agents. I don't know if I even want to trust him to make a trade. Think about it. So many other signings, so many other players that he brings in here. You know, we go back to Claypool and now Montez Sweat is basically MIA. He tipped the ball tonight and he knocked the ball out of the running back's hand and forced a fumble. Other than that, he did virtually nothing.
Again, no sacks. You know, I don't know how this guy and he's making $25 million. It's absolutely mind boggling. How the hell could Poles ever sign a contract for that kid at that kind of money? I don't care who he was or whatever he did and where he came from, but to give somebody like that, don't you have to prove yourself a little bit? You trade somebody, bring him in there. He's supposed to elevate whatever position it is that you traded him for. And don't you wait, Danny. Don't you wait until the offseason and then do the contract? Don't you honor his contract from whoever it was that he was traded from?
Well, he was traded for a second-round draft pick. He was a first-round pick, traded for a second.
Yeah,
and you don't think that – yeah, you can't become a great team by getting rid of good players. I didn't say great. I said good players because not everybody's going to be a Pro Bowler. So when, you know, you make a trade, DJ Moore, same thing. Why did Carolina was the worst team in football and they couldn't wait to unload him. Why? Why? Now you're starting to understand.
Wasn't Washington the one that had Sweat?
Yep. Yes.
That's not a bad football team. And they've got some pretty interesting
people. Wait a minute,
I thought you said
it was no big deal when we beat them. You said they weren't any good when we won.
You want to take me on this deal? They went 24-25 on no time on the clock? Are you kidding me?
All right, we got no time left on our clock, too. We got to take a break here and get into the newsroom. Bears win at 25-24. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears win at 25-24 for the second straight game. This time they beat the Commanders in Washington, D.C.
To win two games back-to-back in the National
Same
Football
score.
League. Forget about by 1 point. Two games back-to-back, and you win each of them by 1 point. That's... what are the odds on that one?
Not very good. Not very good at all. 312-981-7200, the number. Let's go out to Aurora and say hi to Jim. Jim, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Ed, you are 100% correct. They took the wrong – I know it's too early, but they may have taken the wrong quarterback. There's three of them that went after.
Oh, absolutely. Jim, I know who you're
Daniels,
talking about.
It's May, it's Bo Nix. All of them have turned their franchises around already. All three of those teams are in first place. They are playing like they know what they're doing, and Caleb, after the first look, he's lost.
Well, not according to supposedly the press, et cetera, around this town. I tell you what, you know what? Sooner or later, okay, does it seem like Jim, he has the talent? He seems like, yes, he has the talent. But you watch his throws. Either they're too high into the ground, he can escape, he can get out of a pocket, he does that well. But I'm going to tell you what, for set of downs after set of downs, quarter after quarter after quarter, in about a year and a third. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen this magnificent football player coming from Southern Cal blossom. I just haven't.
All right, then let me just say this. How much of a detriment was that idiotic nonsense coaching staff that he had to put up with last year? How much did that set him back and befuddle him? We all know how none of these coaches that we're coaching here on offense have a job in the NFL now. That tells you how bad it. There's 32. Hey, Jaden Daniels has got Cliff Kingsbury, who rewrote college record books and then was a head coach in Arizona. And Bo Nix, he's got Sean Payton, who everybody knows is a Super Bowl winning coach that is, you know, borderline genius, whatever. They made a fortune for a little bitty guy named Drew Brees. I'm just saying, don't sell him out yet. It ain't time to start selling.
Now, wait a minute. According to you, Mr. Hampton, it's everybody else's fault, but not the principal person.
Oh, hey, I'm not saying
that. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying he was perfect tonight, but I will tell you this.
That wasn't the question. I'm just asking, following up what you just said. It's everybody's fault, but Caleb Williams, it's everybody's fault, but his?
I didn't say that.
Hell, you didn't.
I just said what we saw from this coaching staff last year and what they were trying to get across to him, it kind of befuddles the mind. And now, in a whole new system, which Terry Bradshaw came out and this week and said, it is an ultra-complex system. That is why Jared Goff has, you know, been essentially, you know, a godsend to the Detroit Lions. He wasn't in the Sean McVay couldn't wait to unload him, but he comes to Detroit, and guess what? Ben Johnson kind of put him on the right track, and they had three of the best offensive years of anybody in NFL history. So what I'm trying to say is, give it a little bit of time. But there's no doubt.
Then, unfortunately, there is no time in the NFL. You're lucky. I don't know what is their career last now? 5.5 years, 6 years, something like that.
It's
maybe?
It's always about 3.5 or 4 years.
Well,
for the average player,
it's a little bit more than that. Okay, so when you get here, you got to be ready to go.
But Sam Darnold
wasn't. It's everybody else's fault, except the principal person.
Sam Darnold couldn't find first base in New York or Carolina or anywhere. Now in Seattle, he's got them, you know, running the offense as well as anybody. Think about, Daniel Jones down in Indianapolis. He stumbled around in New York. Now Indianapolis is rolling. I'm just saying, it takes a little time for some people. Some coaches, they understand, you know, what talents are you know, to be gleaned,
Danny,
from a quarterback, and they tailor the offense to that quarterback's talent. Ben Johnson hadn't done so much of that. But all that being said, I'm not saying Caleb has been great. He has been somewhat effective, but in the big picture, he's getting better week by week. And let's just see where it goes.
All right, guys, some breaking news coming out of our nation's capital. ESPN is reporting that DJ Moore was taken from the stadium in an ambulance post-game to a local hospital for a precautionary medical evaluation. He'll remain in the area overnight. That is according to the team. We did see him leave on a couple of occasions. He went into the medical tent but was able to come back onto the field. So if there's any other information coming out of there before we get out of there,
on the sidelines.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
He probably had some discoloration in his urine. I mean, this happens a bunch. I've seen guys, you know, when they took a leak, it was almost blood. So, and, you know, let's hope he's fine.
Yeah.
Let's hope he's fine.
That's the sentence. You're damn right we hope he's fine. I don't wish that on anybody. Hopefully everything will come out.
And to his credit, he came back into the game. Because, like you said, get rid of him. Well, who else we got? You know?
Good point. Bears win it by the final score of 25-24. We'll be with you till 12:30 tonight. We'll hear from some of the combatants later on in the show as well.
But I just wanted one more thing, Danny, what you had said. Somewhere along the line, you know, we're talking about each individual guy, whether it's Williams, a quarterback, or if it's a receiver, a doozy, whoever. Sometimes, Dan, and I know it's a team game, okay? You got 11 on each side. But sometimes these guys have to take care of business themselves. I don't care what position they play, on offense or defense. Sometimes they have to take responsibility for how they played the game, mentally and physically. They're the ones that have to come up with the answers, and they're the ones that have to make the plays happen, offensively and defensively. And to say, well, a coach this and that, a lot of times, Danny, it's up to the individual player to make it happen. That's the bottom line. Look, when you played, you made it happen. And you made a lot of other people around you good football players, damn good football players. And so, again, my point being is the players at this level, they have to stand up on their own 2 feet and get the job done and not worried about if a coach this or whatever have you. So it's up to the player individually to make that sacrifice and make it happen.
I want to say a big thanks to our friends at Melnix, Jake Melnix, for feeding us here again tonight. We had some nice buffalo chicken sliders. The elote was really, really good tonight. And
is that that dip?
That was the corn dip. Yeah, yeah, that was so sweet and so good.
Never had that before.
Yeah, very, very good. And again, Jake Melnix located at 41 East Superior. You can check out jakemelnix.com for information. It's game on at Jake's every Saturday and Sunday. They have great brunch selections as well. And game day specials all the time when the Bears are playing. Again, Jake Melnix, 41 East Superior, or visit jakemelnix.com for more information. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back with some more here. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Services LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Second down and 5. End zone, picked off. Intercepted by Brisker. Samuel was the target, and Brisker's out near the 35.
Time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlight courtesy of ABC, and yes, Jaquan Brisker. I love that tandem between Brisker and Kyler Gordon back there. Those guys, and you know, sometimes to their detriment to getting hurt, they
and
fly Kevin around.
Byard.
Yeah, Byard too, yeah.
And Stevenson is playing great. You know, unfortunately, Nashon Wright was exposed a number of times tonight. But he came up with the biggest play of the game when everybody's favorite quarterback of all time, Jaden Daniels, blows the handoff and the ball's on the ground and he jumps on it and giving the Bears the opportunity to go and drive for the winning field goal. So, you know, all the bad luck, all the mistakes, all the things that happened to kind of put us, you know, behind the eight ball, Nashon Wright, who had been Nashon wrong all night, was in the right spot at the right time to make the play of the game and, you know, cover the fumble. So, but back to Brisker. Brisker, I got to tell you, I love the kid. Obviously, he struggled with concussional issues. But when he plays like a little miniature linebacker. He made a lot of tackles, but the interception, they were going in to score. And, you know, when you get – on a roll with a guy like Jaden Daniels, yeah, you guys are right. He's a special player. He took his team to the NFC Championship game last year as a rookie. So, yeah, you don't want him getting on a roll, and that was a great interception. Great return, too.
Yeah.
Brought it out, what, 30 yards or so? But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Brisker was great except when he hit the quarterback low on that blitz, and obviously he's got a – yeah, you know, things happen like bam, bam, and you kind of lose sense of it. But he's got to find a way to stay up and not hit the quarterback in the legs, especially that guy, because he missed 2 weeks because of his knee. So you know the officiating was going to be really hawkeye in that.
That was a play, Danny, that bothers me a little bit about it, because you could see when he came in on the blitz, Danny, and he had time to hit him hot, a lot higher, whatever have you. and he dove down and hit him right below.
Didn't look good.
Right, and I'll tell you what, I have been a little bit personally. I'm talking about. I have a little issue with when I see somebody pull a stunt like that.
Let's go with that game-changing moment now from the Mueller Auto Group. The game-changing moment sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. We just alluded to it. And it was the Nashon Wright forced fumble that set up the opportunity for Jake Moody, who was with their active roster for less than 12 hours, to come through with the game winner at the end.
Cinderella story, yeah. Just the way we kind of planned it, right?
Exactly.
Now,
right.
Our defense was able to force three turnovers. And again, we have led the NFL in forcing turnovers since the beginning of last season. So whatever it is, obviously through a different coaching staff now, some really good things are happening on the defense. But that being said, how many times did Washington have to punt tonight?
One time.
It took 52 minutes before we forced that offense to punt. So you can't say the defense played a great game. You just can't. But getting those turnovers, and especially the one at the very end, they were going in basically to kick a field goal and ice the game. And you know, obviously it was a mistake by Daniels and bad exchange. All that being said, the three turnovers were priceless tonight, and we needed every single one of them.
Well, the one thing that I saw a little bit of, our two tight ends, Loveland and Komet, they caught a total of 5 passes. I would like to see that double or triple, the 10, maybe the 15, 18, 12, whatever have you, well up into the double digits. And if we start doing that, Danny, our wins are going to come a little bit easier, and we've got to get them more involved. The more I see this offense from Ben, the more I think we've got to open it up. And how do you open it up? Let's see, what can we do to do better in our passing game? Get the tight ends involved. It's right in front of you, Coach. It's right in front of you.
Amen. But you have to, you know, give some kudos. The opening drive, we drove it down. We got stalled. We kicked a field goal. Next possession, we didn't punt. We drove it down for another field goal. The third possession was the charm. We went in for a touchdown. Then we started to get a little cute. Instead of going for the field goal, Ben Johnson went for it on 4th and over 1 yard. He threw the ball, and it was batted down. And we turned it over on downs. But you got to think, you know, we had the ball 5 times in the first half, and 3 of the 5, we were able to score points. And in this game today, it's about offensive scoring.
You know, the thing, Danny, too, is that you let people, and remember what I said right around halftime, Andy?
Yep.
When I said, they're letting them hang around. They're not finishing them off. And they've had the opportunity to get in and get six, and we're not doing. They're letting them hang around. And normally, folks, when that happens, up pops the devil. The end of the game, you go down. Didn't happen tonight. We won on a miracle.
So DeAndre Swift finished with 108 yards on the ground on 14 carries, an average of almost 8 yards a pop.
Yeah,
he is the first Bears 100-yard rusher since he did it last year in that game at Washington, 129 yards, almost a year to the day. It's actually 2 weeks shy of 1 year exactly on the 27th of October. We all know how that game ended. But, you know, the way he was running tonight looked different than the times he has run the ball in the past. It looked like he was running a little angry, which was good to see.
And, see, again, we've won 2 games. And it gives you a little cachet, and you're a little bit more emboldened to let it go and get it out there. And, you know, I've been talking about this all year, about the defensive line. On the snap of the ball, they're laid off the ball, they stand up, and they hit into the guards or the tackles, and they're blocked. They don't have reckless abandon. And tonight we saw that from DeAndre Swift. And guess what? It paid off. So maybe, just maybe, the rest of these guys will start waking up and realizing, hey, it's not 9-on-7. It ain't, you know, summer camp. It's the NFL. It's time to turn it loose. We're not doing that on the defensive line. And how long can we keep trying to hang around. Again, like I said, we didn't make them punt for 52 minutes in a football game. If I was a part of that defense, I would be humiliated. Somehow, some way, we got to find a
Danny, fix. The way we were running the football, would I have loved this? It happened maybe two or three times. I would love to see him come with more play action. Why Ben Johnson didn't have more play action along, why we were running the ball, and we were doing super with it. That's when you come with the play action and go for the deep post or the fly pattern, folks. That's when you hit them with that. When your running game is gone, then you come with the play action. We didn't do it.
You're right.
We did not do it one stinking time. We never called one of those plays. And, boy, you talk about a perfect game to come with play action. It was tonight.
All right, we'll get a news update from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up here in a moment. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk,
Vuk!
At jeffvuk.com. And remember, nationwide is on your side. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And, again, if you're just joining us, that is not it wasn't the same game as the Raiders game, although it ended up in the same score, believe it or not, 25-24 the final.
The game ended the same way.
Exactly.
The exact same way.
Jake Moody, kind of the hero, if you think about it today. I mean, he did have one blocked, but, again, this is a guy that started the season with the 49ers and was let go. The Bears picked him up on the practice squad. The timing may have been a little curious with the pickup because, you know, we saw Cairo Santos kick four field goals against the Raiders and help win that game.
Absolutely. And where did this strange quad injury come from?
I'm not sure.
You know, I don't remember him, you know, getting injured or trying to make a tackle.
You're
or
talking
something.
About Santos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. But I'll tell you this, you know, a win is great and it's a great deodorant and all the bad things kind of fade away. But, you know, some of the bad things, and I already talked about them. Think about, you know, DJ Moore lining up in the neutral zone. That's inexcusable. And calling back a 10-yard gain that got us off the goal line and gave us a chance. Unfortunately, now we had to punt. The drop by Zacchaeus, that was huge. Four different times we committed penalties on third down that gave them first downs. But all that, you know, and probably the biggest one was the official's call on Theo Benedict when he was supposedly not, you know, lined properly on the line of scrimmage, which we now know was a phantom call. He was, and it was a horrible call that brought a touchdown back. But Nashon Wright getting beat on that double move and letting McCaffrey get behind him for that just laugher of a touchdown catch. All those things, you know, you've got to think. Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, he came here with great credentials. And, you know, I was excited because the Saints always seem to have a real tough, no-nonsense, brutal defense. We haven't got it. And like I said, 8 minutes left in the game, we finally make them punt. And they probably could have went for it. It was like fourth and two, but they didn't, thankfully. But all of these, you know, all these mistakes and faux pas on defense, they're going to come back and bite you. And again, you know, as far as the pass rush, there was about four times tonight, OB, where the pocket collapsed. And we haven't seen that this year. And the main reason was Dom Robinson, who has been on the team now 3 years as a project, as a pass rusher, number 90. But he had the best three pass rushes of the season tonight. And not only that, but Gervon Dexter had a sack and a half, and he did some pretty good stuff inside. But all that being said, you know, Washington comes in, number one running team in football, and yet we held them in check. Jaden Daniels is a special athlete, and he was able to run for 52 yards. A lot of those are back-breaking, you know, scrambles out of the pocket. But we held that vaunted running game to only 72 yards on 21 carries. That's 3 yards and some change. That is good defense. Finally, we're starting to show up and do some of the things we talked about in the pregame.
Absolutely, Dan. What you said was spot on. And what has to start showing up, because I'll tell you what, we're going to – well, we've got – I tell you what. We got what, the Saints coming up?
Yep, Saints at home.
We got Saints coming up this Sunday at home, okay? And I think they're what, 1-4?
Five.
They're 1-5 now. So, I mean, there's hopefully there's no way we could lose this game. And sometimes, you know, when you're really not that good, but you start to win no matter how you win, but you're mounting up the W's, okay, week after week. I'll tell you what, and then you start to believe in yourself. You start to believe in your offense. You start to believe in your coaches. And because sometimes when you're losing, there's a lot of skepticism about your fellow players, about the coaches that are coaching you. So winning cures a lot of that. And again, with the Saints coming in at 1-4, we win, we'll be what, 4-2 by then? If we win this Sunday, we'll be 4-2. And then we're going to start looking at some tough opponents coming up. But then again, maybe these kids will start believing in themselves and putting out that 110% effort, which you need every week. That's what you need. You just got to do it. There's only 17 of them, okay? And you got to come. You got to give that extra effort, that extra push, and make that extra sacrifice if you want to be a champion. That's what you truly have to do.
You know, Jake Moody, obviously, star of the game, kicking, you know, 4 field goals. That's great. But he had one blocked.
Yep.
And the special teams were so ineffective on kickoff coverage, they returned it out past the 40 twice in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
I mean, it was like we couldn't find a way to get them pinned down. All of those things, you know, the special teams deserved an A in Las Vegas. Tonight, you know, it was you know, a nail biter, because we seemed to, you know, one step forward, two steps back, here and there. Let's hope. And you know what you said about the confidence, OB, believing in each other and all that stuff.
You have to.
Well, when you win, that it starts to kind of, you know, brew. Now, all that being said, and I'm not putting Caleb Williams in any of these categories of Tom Brady or Joe Montana or any of the great, but you hear about that. The team starts buying in and believing, all we got to do is what we have to do, and the quarterback will find a way. 3 weeks in a row, we've done it.
All right, we're going to get set to wrap things up here in a little bit. We still got about 15 or so minutes with you. We'll hear from head coach Ben Johnson coming up after we take a quick timeout as the Bears win it 25-24 over the Commanders tonight. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, 25-24 as the Bears get the win. Let's go out to our nation's capital and hear from the head coach Ben Johnson.
Win here. That's a really good opponent that we went against in a very hostile environment, and I thought all three phases came through for us when needed. So, you know, it was not our cleanest game. We made a number of mistakes, and penalties were an issue. But once again, our team was resilient, and they found a way to win. So, very proud of them. I thought defensively, the takeaways were huge for us. Obviously, I thought Dennis Allen, I thought the defensive staff did a phenomenal job coming up with a sound game plan. That's a very difficult offense to try to have answers for, and yet they were able to come up with something that we felt good about, and then the guys went out and executed it as well as they possibly could. So big shout out to them. Couple guys got game balls here tonight. Moody came through for us. I mean, 4 field goals. We needed every point we could get there. You know, getting called up there at the last second, that was huge for us. And then Swift got the other one here as well. So over 100 yards rushing for him, season high, and 7-plus yards per carry. So that last drive was a lot of Swifty there, finding a little crease and getting us into field goal range for that last kick. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
How crazy was it to see a kicker like that come in from the practice squad and have a type of game yet?
I wasn't surprised at all. We've seen him in practice now for a number of weeks. That's one. And then, you know, we also know what he's capable of. He's made big kicks and big games over the course of his career so far. So none of it was surprising. I think that's who he is. And I think that change of scenery was really good for him.
You had the one that was blocked a little bit earlier. Did that, in terms of the whole operation, what do you think, what happened on the block, and what did you address anything changing for the last
game? Yeah, we'll have to go back and look at the tape. I think the picture showed we might have had a little penetration there in the A-gap, and you know, we'll see if we got the ball up high enough as well. So we'll go back and look at that.
He might get kind of lost in all the other storylines tonight. What did he mean to what you guys were doing offensively?
Oh, it was huge. I mean, this is the best, the most efficient we've ran the ball all year. You know, really felt an attitude with him. He did a great job finding a little crease and stepping on the gas, as we talk about. Played a physical style. Not only that, I mean, that the catch, 55-yard touchdown, was really a game-changer for us. That was a time in the game where we needed a little spark. We were kind of, you know, faltering just a little bit as a team, and all it takes is one guy to make a big play like that and really ignite us again. And so I think it's who I really thought he was going to be going into the season is we're looking for guys that can elevate the people around him, and he did that here tonight.
Yeah, also, it was a little – it's kind of counterintuitive to go to the running back and run the ball as much as you did on that final drive with the clock running down. What gave you the confidence that Swift was going to deliver?
Well, it wasn't only Swift, but felt good about how our guys up front were blocking. I thought that was the cleanest they've played. As a whole, up front, tight ends included, our receivers are blocking really well. You know, going to that last drive, I was thinking this is going to be it for us. And so with that being said, I want to make sure that they didn't have a rebuttal drive either. So told Caleb on the headset, tell the big guys up front that we're going to ride the run game on into the victory. So they came through for us.
Coach, you talked about the hostile environment. What would you say about Caleb, the way the man did his motions, ties to the area after everything that happened last year and coming out?
Yeah, you know, something I was conscious of going into the week, and really didn't talk a whole lot to him about it. Just said, hey, get your affairs in order if you got people coming to the game, and that's all we said. And other than that, he was the same guy throughout the entire week. Last night, you know, we're having our last few meetings, and you know, some guys like to go see family or people in the area, and he's there, and we're having our quarterback meeting, and I see him in the chow hall having some snack late at night too. So I mean, he was locked in, and he just was all about trying to find a way to win this game and do a good job for his teammates. So really proud of how he handled the week.
Ben, within the run game, we saw a few different ways to get guys the ball, whether it's a pitch or a toss, straight handoff. Like, how do you know when to kind of dial up the creativity when it comes to getting guys the ball?
Yeah. I honestly, this was probably the smallest menu we've had going into a week, and maybe that has something to do with us being able to execute a little bit better, you know, a little bit less volume. But like you said, we had just a few different ways that we wanted to attack this team, and they did a good job executing it.
And I know your message a couple weeks ago was, you know, the book on the Bears is that they can't close, and then you close against the Raiders, you close here. What does that say about kind of the way this thing is going and where it could be headed?
Yeah, I think it says a lot about our locker room right now. They're not just believing, but now they're starting to understand that, man, if this thing's close in the fourth quarter, then someone's going to step up and make a play for us. And we had a number of guys here in this fourth quarter that did that. And so I think these wins sometimes can go more a longer way for your program than those blowouts do. So it was good to see.
Forgive me if you've been asked this already, but what was the decision process with Cairo coming into the game?
We made it through the week, and we just said, hey, he wasn't feeling it, and we went ahead and made the change.
Ben, you said during.
All right, we're going to get back into our conversation about the game. There was the head coach, Ben Johnson. After the Bears win at 25-24, our final moments here on our post-game show. And what do you think of some of the things that our head coach had to say there today?
Well, first and foremost, you know, and again, this is kind of like a redundancy, if you will. He's saying, hey, now everybody's starting to believe and buy in, and that's a good thing. And, you know, his point about these close victories, these nail biters, you know, maybe sell the team on the, you know, the fact that they can find a way to win despite the 9 penalties, despite the fact that, you know, we make so many blunders and mistakes and drops, and, you know, allowing them to return the kickoff, you know, out to the 40 every time. All these things, you can overcome it. And they stayed together and showed some grit.
Danny, first of all, who has to overcome it is the coaches. They're the ones that have to overcome it. They're the ones that have to look at the penalties, like it was 9 today, 8 last week. That's 17, folks. And I've said it before. How the hell you win a game with 8 penalties and with 8 and 9 penalties is beyond me. You get that many penalties with 60 some yards, 84 yards against you, you lose a football game. So who has to understand and transfer that information to the players are the coaches. They're the ones that have to understand. They're the ones that put the daily game plan together on their workouts, how they're going to work out, how long's the period going to be, what are we going to do in the period from week to week to week, and then what are we going to do to get them ready? What can we do better as coaches from week to week? How bad did we screw up the prior week? And if you did, you should sit down as coaches and sit and talk about it and work it out. Not just come up like nothing ever happened and you go to a whole new set of things to go and maybe, yeah, let's try it this way. You guys have to take a look at yourselves just like the players do from week to week. Offensively, the game plan, defensively, the game plan. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how the hell we've won these last two games, folks, because I'll tell you what, I would give this coaching staff an F. Last 2 weeks, I know we won. You think I might made me a little crazy? Well, whatever. You know what? But I'll tell you what, I would give them an F because they didn't have these kids ready to play. We played some lousy football teams, okay? Especially the one last week. And a miracle that we won the game. We play today. Could there things have been done better offensively? Yes, there has. Could guys have played better? Yes. The point is, could coaches have coached better so we didn't have to wait till 2 seconds on the clock to kick a field goal and win the game? Could our coaches have coached better and got these kids in a better position by the time the fourth quarter came around?